of kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating. It's sensational. It's Seattle Sounders FC soccer.
To Sounders Scuttlebutt. We are recording on the 18th, a Monday of March. Typically, we record on Tuesday. A little impromptu. I mean our president of the Alliance Council, president of Gorilla FC, and the communications director of the Independent Supporters Council. I did it.
Yep.
Cameron Collins joins me, as always, and I'm Aaron Lingley.
Hi, Aaron.
But you're leaving in a few days, so we wanted to get this out.
Yep. I'll be in... I head down to San Jose for the Sounders match down there, and I will be featured on the field pregame for a pregame ceremony, but we'll get to that. Do you have beer?
In the scuttlebutt, yeah. I have beer. Yes, I'm drinking. So basically, I'm on my back deck on this beautiful 63-degree day or whatever. If you listen to the show, you know I have she is now a almost 5 week old, and my wife decided to go pick up our groceries and take her with her so she can get a little adventure.
Sounds like she's been a terror.
And as soon as I close the
can you send her back?
She's or trade her in. Yeah, I don't know. We're gonna give her another week and figure that out. But basically, as soon as I've been on leave from work, so I've been home constantly with her, which has been great. But really, haven't done anything socially. Have barely been drinking, and so I've had like two beers per Sounders match, and that's about all I've been drinking for a month. Which is, I feel kind of good about that. Other than I'm sleep deprived. But as soon as I shut the door to say goodbye, I open the door to the fridge, and I have myself a Kona Big Wave. I believe it's their lager.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Either way, it's a sunny day, and when it's sunny in Seattle / Everett, I need to get outside and have a beer. So here I go. Oh, that was weak. I have another one, so it'll be better sounding randomly.
I just realized
about 15 minutes.
I have Guinness in my fridge, so how about you ramble for 2 minutes or less while I get that Guinness, because what am I doing? Jeez.
Ramble for 2 minutes? Huh. Well, no.
As you know,
oh, dude.
What?
You should have just said that it would have been 20 seconds. Because I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to cut it.
Oh.
I'm too tired to come up with shit on my own.
Oh. Well, I mean.
But now we'll just have like a.
Yeah, it was just.
a FM radio sound just to be like.
Just throwing the Jeopardy music. As you know.
Or sexy elevator. You just listen to sexy elevator music.
Yesterday was St. Patrick's Day.
Welcome back, Cameron.
St. Patrick's Day. As a special holiday for my family, as a Collins and a Murphy, I attended the Sounders match alone on Saturday because my parents, who have been, my dad always goes, my mom has been attending until there's someone else to take her ticket later in the season, perhaps. And they both were marching in the St. Patrick's Day parade. So they were not at the match. But because of
really?
I have Guinness left over.
So you are drinking
Guinness?
The rare.
It's nice. And also, shout out to Neil Hoff and his family. Every year I buy Girl Scout cookies, and the Thin Mints are vegan. Nice. So I'm going to bust these open and eat them with them. Malai sold $4,000 worth of cookies this year. And I'm just like, dang, I need to hire that girl to come work for me and hustle.
Damn. Or you need to become a Girl Scout, make yourself some extra money.
I think it all goes back to the Girl Scouts.
Pretty sure you get arrested. Well, good for them. Good for her. Well, Cameron, we should get some scuttlebutt in before we talk about the Sounders. I'm super,
yeah,
super excited about that performance.
Oh, joy.
By the way, everyone, I am on my, I said my back deck, right? Yeah,
back patio.
Yeah, I'm on my back deck because it's beautiful out and I have my beer. Let me know, Cameron, if you hear any, someone's mowing their lawn.
No, sounds good so far. You hear that? No. So if it does get picked up.
Wonderful.
You know, it'll just be a little ambiance for the audience. That's all.
Just close your eyes and picture yourself on your, in my backyard drinking a beer with me.
Yep.
In the sun.
I should have done the same. I got my back patio, but I've been sitting inside on my computer all day working. So, yeah. Woohoo. Sounders weren't the only action, as Messi, of course, came in the U.S. Open – or not U.S. Open Cup. I got it, wish. In the Champions League Cup.
Champions Cup.
And scored a bunch of goals, and we saw
– no league. You and Dan figured
– yeah.
There's, it's Champions not league Cup. Anymore.
And it was that was kind of exciting. I had a question for you though. Why do you think there's so much Messi hate? And I know there are listeners, many if not
jealousy.
So I just, to me, you can tell he's so talented, and I don't know. Maybe it's because it's our GM that brought him in. You know, the guy.
Oh, do you mean like local Messi hate, or just
I mean general? In the league, but I mean we have Sounders fans, our listeners, I know, who don't like Messi also, and I'm just like, we have the greatest player in the world playing in our league. To me, that's must watch yeah. TV every game he plays, and not even thinking about the fact that Suarez is the last two games has just been unstoppable.
Yeah, he's, why didn't he come here when we were asking for him, Nico?
Yeah, I know. Seriously, we let Nico go at yeah, the wrong I mean, time if we wanted Suarez.
And then, he didn't join his team, but they're in the same yeah. state. Shit. What is it? I-95 that runs? That
sounds right.
North and south on the East Coast? I think it is. Yeah. I mean, I would have to guess it's just some sort of just jealousy. Or maybe not like we should have gotten him, but you shouldn't have. Like, too big of a player for this league right now, and roster rules, yada. But for all intents and purposes, that everything they've done is legal. Mm-hmm. I, for one, I did add, you know, Inter Miami and Orlando to my teams to watch on MLS Season mm-hmm. Pass. Because, you know, like, best player, arguably, of all time is in our league playing still at the highest level. In terms of his what he's able to do, not the MLS is the yeah. highest level, but you yeah. know what I mean. Like, I mean, look at his debut last year. I mean, could that be more storybook?
No, exactly. And right? I get why some people are annoyed in the fact that we've worked so hard to show that we aren't a retirement league, and this kind of flies in the face of that mm-hmm. a little bit. But still, no, because Messi's. He could have gone all over.
He's another. He's above yeah. that, man. There's retirement league players, Steven Gerrard, Pirlo,
yeah.
right? And then there's player. Then there's Lionel Messi, and even like Luis Suarez. Like you were just saying, he's playing like he's 30. At least he's producing like he's 30. I don't watch every second of every match, but his touch is still there. His movement's still there. He's still in the right place. I mean, these are players you want in your league, especially at this time where we want our league to have more money for all of us.
Yep.
And we're a step closer to being able to have, you know, the roster flexibility and structure to sign, you know, overall, and maybe not, maybe a big, like we're not a big name player club other than Dempsey. Right. But we, if we had the ability to have higher quality players as depth players, you know,
absolutely
that needs the league to restructure their rosters. New, there's talked about a new DP. They just changed the youth DP, and I'm not going to talk much about roster construction because we all know how terrible I am at that.
Oh, the
and,
one,
and I'm a sleepy like mofo we right did now. Talk but about didn't this, they just so. Change the youth DP?
I don't think so. Not yet. They haven't changed it. We have one on our team.
Pretty sure they did.
Well, regardless, that's.
But anyway, I think the hate's bullshit.
Regardless of all of that, you know, if Messi makes it so we have larger TAM level players on our team, a larger number of those, I'm for it. Like, I think a lot of the hatred is from East Coast teams who have to play them, or from, like, I guess it hasn't affected us because we haven't played him, but it prices people out of matches too because of how much clubs are charging their players. I'll be interested to see what the Sounders do at a time where, you know, last year will be the last year where we potentially, next year, I should say, will be the last year where we potentially could host Messi. I mean, we're going to host him this year in the MLS Cup final, but those prices are kind of set by it being the final, not it being Messi playing. So I'm not too worried about that.
Well, we need to be able to host the final and have more points than Miami. And
we will.
At this rate. But,
I mean, if you think about it, we've played 3 games. We have 1 loss and 2 ties. That's fine.
Yeah. And I've gone through this conversation of how we're going to talk about what just happened this weekend, but at the 30,000 foot level, like 15 times since the end of that match a couple days ago for this show. So yeah, we'll get to it. And I'm not going to jump off the edge or anything like that, but I'm still a little pissed off. So we'll get to
it. Yeah. I mean, we've got some interesting questions coming into our Discord as we speak. That's what that noise was. I had to turn it off on the, I had to turn off Discord on my computer because it was sending messages through because people are asking us about,
Patrick GC dropping
asking us about roster construction and lineups and maybe some stuff that I'll be interested to see what you think because of your biases for our team.
Yeah. Why don't we start with Tim, Muffin Top Model, because then we can lead into Patrick's question, which is Sounders related, but then we can jump right into the second half of the show where we talk
about Let me ask you something first, though.
I'll allow it.
As a girl dad, we saw the NWSL.
Hashtag Kobe.
We saw NWSL start. Of course, Rain won 1-0 on a penalty kick. How do you...
Here comes the rain. Here she comes again. Man, how are they... Are they using the Colt?
I don't think they are.
That song is perfect for them. Should. Oh, my God.
But...
Somewhere Nick is like, yes.
Randy, I think, isn't the biggest sports fan. She seems to come along to stuff, but, you know, it's not her thing.
Let me correct you. She is not a sports fan.
I was saying it the nice way.
Are you watching sports today? Are questions I get? what sport?
But, you know, getting your daughters into sports, you know, you've got to start early. 5 weeks seems like a good time to maybe introduce Margot to rugby, cricket, get so she knows how to.
She's terrible at headers.
Yeah, I mean, but she can learn them. So, do you have you thought about how you're going to introduce them to sports? And because I know, like, Gracie loves F1 and watching it with you, and we see Nick with Roma take her to matches, and she loves the chants and all that kind of stuff.
I think it's just I'm going to allow them to ask me questions because it's always around – every sport that I enjoy is always around me, right? I'm watching F1. I'm watching the Mariners every night. You know, we go to Aqua Sox games up here in Everett, and Gracie loves those, but mainly for Frank the Hot Dog and Webley and the bouncy houses, but she's 4. But I think just exposing them to it but not – making them do anything. Like, we asked her because one of her daycare friends joined the soccer league for YMCA last spring, and she said, yeah, I want to do it. And I'm literally holding her as if she's a foosball player and swinging her to kick the ball because she didn't want to run around, and that's fine. But she enjoyed being swung around like although I've been taking her to
that's like Nick, what you have to do for him on your pub league team.
Yeah,
you gotta hold Nick and throw him so he can save the ball.
he had a bad hammy. Yeah, we had to carry him around, but that was 2 seasons ago. I'm on Nick's team again. He drafted me. Yay, Nick! Season starts in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. But no, I think just exposing them and allowing them to see what it is and allow them to ask questions and then give them the other opportunity to go play it with you. Like, we'll bring a soccer ball to the park, and I love just like dribbling a soccer ball around and. The park nearest us is a YMCA park, actually, but has like a hole in the ground, a big hole in the ground. And we made that the goal, like kick the ball into the hole. And then I'll pick her up and spin her when she scores. And she loves doing that. And then she found my basketball. And as you know, that's been like my sport growing up to play. Like, I I said hashtag Kobe earlier. She wants to keep practicing dribbling, and she's terrible at it. But it's also a regulation size basketball, so it's the size of her entire body.
Good for hand-eye coordination.
She wants to dribble it, and there's a basketball court like around the block from us. So I'm like, oh, we should go do that. And I want to get her a ball her size and just see how she enjoys it. So I think you just expose them to it, and if they show interest, then you know give them another inch. But I'm never going to force anything. Things they enjoy come naturally. Mm-hmm. Just expose them, right? She wants to be a singer. She wants to be an artist. She wants to ride a unicorn. I'll give her every opportunity to do all those things that she wants. I mean, but yeah, I'm never going to force
anything. You want those
down.
Season tickets, though, right? So you got to figure out is it more likely she'd play for the Storm or the Rain? You got to weigh that out and kind of maybe nudge her in that direction.
Yeah. Well, I got two of them.
Oh, one
so
in each.
Hedging my bets.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Exactly.
Let's get to that scuttlebutt.
But I do want to take her to more Rain games. I think she's now scared of Sounders games because of the boom, boom, clap, and I didn't warn her about that. Although she found her pink headphones, and she's like, now we can go to the Sounders games. I'm like, okay. Okay, girl. So.
Good.
Hashtag girl dad. Tim knows. Tim knows what's up.
One day, maybe that'll be me.
Yeah, well.
I'm working on it.
Join the Girl Scouts. Make some friends. Yeah, you're getting arrested.
Yeah, maybe.
And hey, if Margot is still a terror in a couple weeks, we'll have a conversation.
I'll adopt her.
Visitation rights, but you have to deal with the doesn't sleep at all. 1 hour max, dude. Oh my god. And it was like last night, it was like on the hour every hour, like 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4. And I go back to work and like one more
oh,
night.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Although, like, your body gets used to it. Like, we'll wrap this up. We're getting a little tangential. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that work. But I'm, like, functional, and then it's just a wall later. But, like, during the day, I'm functional. I'm fine. Probably not as creative as I could be, but I'm not doing anything creative. I'm holding the baby, and she's spitting up on me, and I'm cleaning up poop. Whatever. But... your body adjusts, and I'm going to obviously support, throughout the night as if I'm not going to work and be like, hey, should have given me more time off.
Yeah. I mean, you're kind of like the Brian Schmetzer of your household. If you think about it, he has to do this with, Leo Chu and Obed. They're spitting up on him as he cradles them and tells them it's going to be okay.
I thought you were going to say he's sleeping on the job.
Nope.
Making piss poor decisions.
No, I think he
maybe
think
maybe
he's been making
maybe.
The best possible decisions he can based on our roster limitations.
What he's got. Fair enough.
Let's get to that.
Yeah. Well, no, we should. Did we?
Let's go scuttlebutt. We didn't even get to Tim.
Yeah, go to Tim, and then we'll do. I'll let you read Tim since you're going to have the response for him.
Okay.
And then I'll read Patrick's.
So let me pull up Tim here. I did not have it up anymore.
Muffin Top Model in the Discord. Link in the show description. Join us, everyone.
So definitely come and put questions in the Scuttlebutt mailbag, and we'll answer them on the next show.
That was my movie phone voice.
Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to Movie Phone for Showtimes. Press 1.
I used to answer the phone at Safeway. I'd be like, hello, and thank you for calling University Village Safeway. How may I help you? And then I would answer it at home like that too, because I'd forget, because I'd be answering the phone all day at the U Village Safeway. So Muffin Top Model said, okay, tell us all there is to tell about the Rain and the new group. Are they the same group that runs Bold? What's different besides the kits? Did they essentially take over the vacancy that SSFC left at Starfire? This is a tough one because there's always a fine line when you know stuff that isn't public. And so, and I think Tim knows more than the average bear on this subject as well.
The average bear.
I know that currently they are training at Starfire. I don't know if that's a permanent thing or what they're doing with that. But the Sounders and the Carlisle group have taken over the ownership of the Rain, which is we've already seen, like this was happening. We'd heard about it a long time, but it's been finally finalized. I think it came out at like 1 o'clock in the morning last night. And not surprising to me, because we did see, if you're in the stadium, like in my seats, and look up at the tarps that are on the upper deck, they have the new rain logo, which is the old rain logo, on one side, and the Sounders logo on the other, and they're in the same,
which style. Is the new Sounders logo.
So, I would not be surprised. I know that there was talk of maybe the Sounders running the team, with the Carlisle Group being the other group. They're not a sports franchise, so I'll be cool. It'll be cool to see what happens, and I would expect a bunch of big announcements coming up. And I know there's been lots of conversations about what ifs going on behind the scenes in terms of supporter groups working with supporter groups, things like that. So it could be really exciting. Either way, I think this is a positive move for both organizations, the Sounders and the Reign, and I look forward to see how it works out, because you're going to have different staff, obviously, on some level, but then they're not going to have like a Reign person and a Sounders person that do the exact same thing, right? It'll be the same sales staff. It'll be the same president, stuff like that. So I would imagine that that's the case. So more news to come. It's just been announced, but keep your eyes out for some cool stuff is what I would say.
It's kind of like they're coming full circle.
Yeah. Except for they're going to stay at Lumen instead of having to go back to Memorial.
Which is fantastic. Right.
Yeah.
Although I still have this like pipe dream of, I think we've mentioned it in like the first season of my dream for like Memorial, the lot of Memorial Stadium, mm-hmm. is to build like a cathedral style stadium, 45,000, that is like Bernabeu-esque. You know, where it's not expansive width-wise, but it the capacity is because it's kind of tall.
Yeah.
And I just love – I've seen, there's been like fan renderings, I feel like, of that space, but for the Sounders to play at Memorial Stadium.
Yeah.
Which is a pipe dream. I think it would be cool with the Space Needle. It's just such a shitty – and I used to ref flag football there, so I know like the innards
of – Yeah, it's terrible.
I mean, it is terrible. But yeah, I'm glad that they're kind of – back in the family, and playing at Lumen, which is still a great, obviously, venue. Pipe dream aside, like, Lumen is still a great experience. Match day, or before, during, and after. I love being downtown in general.
Yeah, so. I think the big thing will be making sure that the game presentation in terms of, not like on the field, but off the field, what's going on is equivalent to a Sounders experience, because that's something the Reign people have struggled with, is getting the stadium to open up enough food stands, stuff like that. But I think now the Sounders will have some leverage, because they're like, well, we're your partners on this other one, so you gotta help us out here. It always makes me sad when I see videos, because only the one side's open. So the camera for the stadium shows the crowd in the background, but then if you see someone from the crowd filming, it's just completely empty on the other side.
On the other side. So like the bench side is vacant.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but we've seen that first time.
I mean, it's a big fucking stadium. Yeah.
We've seen that. They used to do that.
5 to 10,000
CCL matches. They always did that in the mm-hmm. beginning, where they would, it wasn't until the third or fourth year, third year we were in it, I think, that they started opening up the whole stadium.
Yeah. Okay. Well, like you said, more to come later on that when you're legally allowed to talk about it. And I don't know shit. Patrick GC. Should Schmetzer change up the lineup some? Chew to the bench, Jamo to the L wing, especially with Atencio missing next game. If Paolo is out, I'd like C rolled on with Vargas in the middle and give Rothrock a chance at a start at right wing for some more offense.
Rothrock is not going to happen. I'm sorry. I know we have a contingent that want to make it happen. It would already be happening. He's going to put the lineup out there that's the best for us, that he feels is the best for us. So I just don't see that being it. I think if you're going to put anyone at center defensive mid, they could put Danny, but we saw Danny give up a really dangerous foul that cost us 2 points. And I think it would be more likely to put Rusnak back there because that's what we did before.
Yeah, he's familiar.
And Rusnak and Obed together would be great. You know, like we've seen them. That's the big problem. We talked about it on the show before, but that's the big problem is Obed and Atencio don't know how to play together because you can't determine which one is going to go forward. They both go forward, but then the other one needs to stay back, and neither of them has a big enough presence to scare anyone back there. Think about how lucky we've been, whether it was Ozzy or Svensson or JP. I'm sure there's been other players, but I mean like the main ones, JP or Roldan or Rusnak when he was playing back there. You had guys who could maneuver the ball around the field and play quarterback. I view that's kind of the six is the quarterback of the team. Now, I know the 10 does a lot of distribution too, but I feel like the way Schmetzer has played and still continues to play, it comes through the six and goes to the wings. And then you see the 10 more like a false nine on the back shoulder of whomever is the striker.
I feel if you want to use that analogy, you could just say there's two quarterbacks, right? There's a transition where you're a quarterback that gets the ball moving in that direction, and then you have the scoring opportunity quarterback, whether it's a key pass, an assist, or
with JP, he's both.
I think that's for the six and the ten, right? JP, and he can be both, and that's why he's arguably MVP.
And you know, JP's still a little out, so I mean, I think Chu gets a bad rep. I don't know why people hate him so much. The same way Rusnak got a bad rep. Like both of them, Chu fizzles out in games. He doesn't have a full 90. And I do think as a super sub, he might be unstoppable. Think about him coming off the bench when teams are tired. We talked about how good De La Vega was in that role. I think he could do that too. I don't know about going to one forward when we have no center midfield. Because you think it's bad when there's two forwards and we're going through the wings? There's no one playing in the middle of the park who can move the ball around. How is it going to get up to that forward? It's frustrating. And I think that's been our problem. Our midfield has been non-existent. Granted, it's been injuries. But
yeah, I mean, they have been unable to unlock anything. They've been existent. They've done well enough to have us not lose.
Yeah, I mean,
the last two matches.
But
not obviously counting the 6 minutes in Philadelphia, but
teams just sit back, like we talked about a few shows ago, and yeah, you can get it up there, but then when they have seven people in the box, it doesn't matter how much creativity you have, unless you have the perfect crosses, which we don't have anymore. There was a pretty great one from Alex, and that's how off he's been in terms of crosses this year. Is that when we saw it was like, whoa, that was amazing this past match. So. Yeah, I mean, I think you go the course. Just stay steady. We have 2 points in three matches. We remember that one game was delayed. So, they're at home. You want to win at home, but 2 points, if we're getting points, we're getting points. And then when we're healthy, that's when we're going to start getting 3 points in matches. Our loss to LAFC, granted, they've fallen off and they're now dropping down the power rankings, but they're still a talented team.
Yeah. And we haven't been at full strength. So that was a loss like the title of our episode suggested, an expected loss. And I have to agree with you. I mean, we did bring up last episode that we were on together before you and Dan. I don't know if you can hear that plane. But if the next, basically throughout the length of De La Vega's injury, if we draw and get some wins, but if we mostly draw, if we're not losing throughout this stretch, we're going to be in a good spot.
Yeah.
And that's what I still hold true. But yes, it was hard. It's hard to watch what we've been, you know, as a fan, you want to win every match, right? So it's a bummer. And it's just such a weird, but just frustrating predicament that we're in to start the season, as opposed to last season, right? We're just barnstorming everybody. But
yeah,
I think this is a good transition to actually talking about that match, because that relates, what are we doing next? And how did we like that lineup that went out
there?
So what do you say to to taking a breather.
I want to say one thing real quick first, just to put our people's minds at ease. We have 2 points, and we played one less game. Minnesota is first with 10. So if we win our game against our game in hand, which obviously we won't play till May, we have 5 points, and then suddenly we're a couple wins out of first place. It's, you know, it feels bad because Vancouver's in second and Portland's in third. Mm-hmm. I get it. I'm not worried.
That
about
does
it.
Feel bad.
Now, we'll talk about it later. We're going to San Jose, where they have 4 losses in 4 games and have a -6 goal differential. If we don't come away with a win there, or at least a point, maybe that changes, but we'll get to that.
We'll get to that after this break. Okay, let's start this off with a good beer pop, beer crack, what have you. A little better?
Cut out on my end, but I'm sure it was.
Shit. Well, lo siento. So I'm going to drink it. Soccer. Sounders. 1-1, we scored a goal. Not from the run of play, but we scored a goal. And it was a Panenka penalty from Rui Diaz. So, yeah, we left, I think. I still think we left 2 points on that one. I think that should have been a win. And in contrast to the previous match, we played a full 90, where we dominated against Austin statistically and just eye test and still didn't score a goal. We did not have that same... Now, maybe, I don't know what the stats were, I could probably look them up, but I don't care, of what we were doing before the red card, in terms of were we dominating. It didn't feel that way, because it...
No, it felt...
But, I mean, it was a frustrating game to watch, and people are saying scab refs.
No.
People are saying lineup.
The refs were not that bad. Were they great? No. But I have a real problem with the fact that people started chanting, ref, you suck. It's you're being the boy who cried wolf. Like, that was a clear second yellow card and a clear first yellow card. So the red card was deserved. The penalty? Absolutely deserved. What a terrible tackle by Reagan. The free kick that led to their goal? Danny went in and didn't even try to play the ball. Did he make a hard foul? No. But if he didn't try to play the ball, if he had tried to play the ball, that's not a foul. But he didn't even try to play it. He just threw his body in. Like,
if he tried to play the ball and got the ball.
Yeah, or even if he didn't, if he just like bumped him, he wasn't trying to play the ball. He just threw his body at him because he barely made any contact, if at all. But that wasn't his point. Like, I just... To me, that loss was on the Sounders, not on the refs.
Yeah. That was – and honestly, I've loved what I've seen from Andrew Thomas.
Oh, yeah.
To start the season. That was not a great performance for him in terms of distribution.
No, but
I believe
– I don't
– Well, hold on. I believe that ball – didn't that ball go out of bounds that led to their possession, that led to Danny's foul, that led to their free kick, that led to their goal? Which also was poor positioning, I think, on defense.
It almost seemed like that was on purpose, though. It seemed like the Sounders were deliberately kicking, because he did it like 4 times in a row, deliberately kicking the ball like you're trying to squib kick it out of bounds.
You still want to get it to the... Kick it as far and as hard as you can towards the other corner.
He's not kicking it that far. He's a goalie. It was going across the center line.
You target that, but you still don't.
It looked like he was trying to kick it out of bounds.
Across the halfway line.
Just across the halfway line. Now, maybe he was trying to play it to someone over there, but all the players were angled that way. It wasn't like our players were all the way across the field and he could have kicked it to the left. I was like, kick it to the left and have one of our players run over there. No, everyone was angled like on one of those You know, on Madden, when you call like the return right, and it was like all of our players were angled over there so that it would push their players that way. So we clearly wanted to keep them on their left. I don't know why that was, but I would be curious to know, and I haven't seen press conferences to know if that was on purpose, because it seemed kind of on purpose because it happened over and over again. There was no correction.
That's a fair argument. And Schmetzer in post game pressers was calling out the defense on that set piece, and that they had practiced that.
Yeah, I mean, on TV, you know, I heard on TV they said they weren't lined up, right? They improperly lined up on it.
Yeah, well, there wasn't coverage. I don't know if they were playing man or zone in that situation, but that, what was it, Cabral? Was that his name? That scored?
So.
Sounds right. He could have, like, pelvic thrusted that ball in. He had so much time.
Yeah, I'd like to see.
He was one foot in front. He could have just done one of those, like, Key and Peele pelvic umps and scored.
To see what the play was drawn up as, because clearly it was onside. I never watched the replay because I was too angry, but I was told by Dan Boniface that it was onside. And that they reviewed it on TV and said it was. But it looked like, one, their player left early and was offsides. And two, their player who scored should have been offsides. Different guy, I believe. But clearly we had someone keeping them on and not staying on the line where they should have, which is also frustrating.
Yeah, no, I think it was just poor defense on a set piece. And no one should be that open in the six-yard box. There's no
– I mean, let's be fair – we had such poor defense in that game that we almost gave up 3 or 4 goals on like bad passes in our own box. Like one was on Thomas
and frustrating.
There was several that were on, one on Reagan, one on Atencio. Like it's just like, and I think in one of those, the one that was on Thomas, our player even called for it. So it's like, Thomas from that perspective didn't have the greatest game. He saved a penalty. To me,
yeah, he did.
At the point now where I love Steph Fry, but that's something Steph Fry can't do.
He used
to be able to, but something has happened in the last 3 or 4 years where he comes off the line every single time. He cannot stay on the line. And so I'm almost at the point now where I want Thomas back there full time. I think Thomas is the future of that position. So I wonder what happens after this year, even if Fry starts, because they did sign a 2-year contract. I wonder if they move on from him early because Thomas, I think he's shown him. I mean, he's allowed that goal, which arguably, while he did make mistakes, arguably he should have given up another goal.
Well, he got a finger on it.
He stopped the first kick and then the guy ran up and kicked it in on the goal. So like,
No, he did what he needed to do. I'm looking at actually, the subs we did were at the 81st minute. We had Danny Mazowski for Jordan, Yamar for Arriaga, which Arriaga was hurt. Danny Leyva for Alex Roldan, all in the 81st minute. And Danny Leyva got the yellow card 5 minutes later, and they scored on that set piece, 88th minute, but let's just call it. So that we had 3 players. One of them was a center back. And then we had Danny Leyva coming on for a defender, Alex Roldan. I can see a little bit why the defense was piss poor. They've barely been on the field together.
We were playing 5 at the back with,
I'm trying to find some reason why it was that. Poor.
There's no excuse. Whether or not they played together, there shouldn't have been space. It was only like they were not going to score in the run of play. Right. I don't think they had a few dangerous chances because of mistakes, but they didn't. It had to be a free kick or something like that, or a set piece where they could break through the line in a way. Because at that point, we were playing 5 defenders. 2 central defenders, center defensive mid, 2 midfielders, and a forward. Is that right? Is that 10? Yeah, I believe so. So, and Mazowski, what's his name?
Wow. now you're
Danny
freaking me
Muscoboni.
out.
Danny Muscoboni. Masovsky was garbage. Like, I don't know what he was doing. He wasn't stretching the line at all. He wasn't getting the ball upfield. And I feel like at that point, your only job is to move the ball upfield and make and waste time. Like, we're not trying to score. That frustrated me on another time.
Get as far away from our half as
possible. Did frustrate me another time where we decided to try and score, but everyone went up, and then suddenly they had a breakaway the other way. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, we're winning.
Yeah.
Stop.
And there's minutes left, right? It's not like 20, 25 minutes. Yeah. That seemed like, it felt like a loss. And I think that's why you feel this way. And I do want to say on a positive note, even though we have not had the midfield or just a general, the entire team has not been able to unlock any goals this year. Literally, we don't have
none from the run of play, right?
Yeah. But when we earned that penalty, that was some good soccer. Mm-hmm. That was a great little sequence on the attacking third that was leading towards potentially a goal. Mm-hmm. And it was definitely a penalty.
Clearly, his arm was so far up.
It felt like they had to basically cause that penalty.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we were going to get a shot on goal. So I was actually, I think in the Discord I said when the lineup came out, like, if I see this lineup again, and now I get it, like, there are extenuating circumstances of why we have this lineup out. And we just kind of talked about that. And we'll probably talk about it more when we get into what's going to happen in San Jose. But that actually was like the best little sequence I've seen at all, because there's only so much wing play I can stand when we don't have any threat up the middle, right? And that your wing play is better and you produce more when you have a threat of a through ball down the middle or just someone like Rui Diaz or Rusnak. Now that he's back, I'm excited about that because he's able to get the ball and turn his hips and make something happen and do flicks. And he's able to make stuff happen. We saw that from De La Vega in the 5 minutes we got to see him. So, like, that was promising that we're probably going to see these same players again, and they were connecting, and that was going to, and it led to a goal. It wasn't run a play, but it led to a goal. So there's one positive I take away from, but it all went downhill after that. It just wasn't exciting. We got a red card, and then we got,
I feel like the frustration started in the second half. And the second yellow was where the red card was where it ended. Like, that's when this game went to hell in a handbasket. It was such a stupid foul, too. It was like one of those things where your eyes get big and you turn around and do something, and then you're just a set slow, right? He hit him in the feet after the ball was moving. Like, that's a foul every time. And it went back, you know, the play went on. He called the foul and then went back and gave him the yellow card. So I thought the ref did a great job on that because he said play on, and they played on for a while, and then he remembered. I mean, it obviously hurt us, but it did bother me quite a bit that people were so angry at the ref for legitimate calls. There were some bad calls each direction. None of them were game-changing. The game-changing plays were boneheaded plays by the Sounders that cost us the game. It's that simple.
I can't argue with that.
I mean,
I can't argue that.
I don't think pro referees.
It's the easiest. Replacement refs is the easiest excuse.
I mean, are they bad?
When everything doesn't go
your
way.
Are they bad? Yeah. They're not as talented as probably the real referees. I don't think they've been much worse, at least in the Sounders games.
The bar isn't very high.
That's what we're
like, let's be honest. The bar is not very high, right? And we have, and again, we didn't lose, and we have had a subpar lineup based on availability since the start of the season.
Run.
I think that's what is frustrating is we were so excited. Hell, we were on the Designated Players podcast touting our depth.
Yeah.
Like, we are so fucking excited, bro. We got a new player. He's going to be the shit. We have such depth in every position. I'm only a little concerned about the defense and the fullback position.
Why is it always hamstrings? Like,
I know Brad isn't even on the team.
Rusnak is ankle. I think Fry is hip, but everyone else.
Both are connected to the hamstring bone.
That's true. The hamstring bone's connected to the ankle bone. The ankle bone's connected to the hip bone.
That's weird.
I mean,
not in that order.
No, but I mean, it's still connected.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay. We didn't talk about this in Scuttlebutt, but I'm gonna take a timeout here. During the Sounders match, it popped up on my Twitter feed, and we saw one of the most awesome finishes ever in MLS in the Chicago-Montreal game. Did you see the end of that game?
No, I didn't see the. I actually have made. I want to watch the finish because I was watching. I was jumping between Miami. And they were the only two games on MLS season pass at the time that I was. It was like an hour before our match. And then just got baby distracted or whatever, and I haven't gone back and seen. But then I saw the scoreline during the Sounders game. I'm like, holy shit. Yeah, I think it was 3-1 Montreal.
4-3 Chicago.
I know, but it was 3-1, when I left. I was like, it was 3-1 or something. It was 3-1.
Montreal.
And then I was like,
yeah, no,
over.
Montreal got a red card, and Chicago won 4-3. And it is. I mean, I'm going to ruin it for you because all you really need to do is watch the last 2 minutes.
I don't care. Yeah, they had two. And then
in the 99th minute, Kellen Acosta scored a goal from beyond the half line, kicked it all the way. The goalie jumped up to get it. It bounces off his hands and goes behind him into the goal.
Oh, no. So he even touched it.
Oh, he touched it. Like, it was. And then, of course, they go nuts. It was so. Like, those poor Chicago Fire fans have been through so much.
Well, to bring it back to Sounders, hey, could have been worse, everyone. Yeah. We had a red card.
We could have been Montreal.
And we gave up one goal just before the 90th, not, you know, didn't give up three more.
Yeah, true. But, I mean, so what's your takeaway from this game then? Is it that there was some positives and it's frustrating, but we just move on?
The positives are we didn't lose. Yeah. I'm frustrated by the lack of, and I can see where like Patrick GC on the Discord is like, what else can we do? And like you're saying, and I agree with you, we can't do much else because we are using our depth right now to field players. It's not strategic substitutions. This is our lineup. This is our starting 11. And it looks like half of it's a B squad because we've had four or five starters out since the start of the season and then another injury. So unless we are on a losing streak, I really can't get that pissed off. I can be anxious and frustrated that we're not scoring goals because no run of play goals is a little worrisome.
Yeah.
You know, getting draws is one thing, not scoring goals at all. Like, ugh. This, like you said, San Jose, their record, we are away, fine, but it's West Coast. It's what, a 2.5 hour flight? 2 hour flight?
Yeah, 2 hours. Hour and a half.
I think San Francisco is maybe 2 hours.
No, it's the same. 2 hours. I mean, because it's like 15 minutes further on a plane.
Yeah, and they're chartered now, right? Yeah, all right, no excuses. So they've now played with each other long enough to start the season. And they know where they're at and in terms of their record and their performances. There should be a leveling up moment here where we cannot play down to San Jose's ability. We need to do everything fucking possible to score two goals and have neither of them be a penalty kick. I mean, I'll take two penalty kicks, but I'm still going to be like inherently and foundationally worried about our team if we are unable. Unless the best possible lineup is at, which we're never going to have the best possible lineup in consecutive games. We're probably going to get two, maybe three matches where we have the best possible lineup. But with the way injuries happen, and we're already seeing it, we need to be able to be flexible. And now they've been able to have consistent players. Granted, they're not our ideal. They've consistently been training together and in starting matches. That we should be seeing some production here, and we're not. That is what concerns me because that was an issue with our best 11 last year.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
really, since we won the Champions League,
and we tried to switch up last year and go to two forwards, and really, what hurt us was that Raul and J-Mo hadn't played together. So now that they have had that time, it's time for them to show it, right? It's time for them to do it, and this San Jose game, is it, I think. This is the one where we need to have a coming out party because, I mean, who does San Jose have? I mean, Jackson Yule in the midfield. Yarbrough's okay. They're one of their goalies. I don't know if he's starting though right now. And that it? I mean, Ebobisi, who hasn't been playing every game.
Oh, we like him.
And they still have Espinoza as well. But yeah, I love Ebobisi. But I'm glad he's not in Portland anymore. And then Espinoza, who's good. But they just haven't. Cade Cowell moved on, and he's in, Chivas?
Chivas? Yeah,
he's a winger for Chivas. And then it's got to be his little brother. There's another Cowell that's a C Cowell, Chance Cowell, who's a young homegrown
on the team, name?
Chance. So.
No, I said Chet. No. Like, was SoCal, man.
I mean, he's from Ceres, California, which I think is SoCal, isn't it? I don't know. That's a city in the middle of nowhere.
I mean, just look at Cade Cowell and you're like, beach, yeah. Bro.
Yeah, right? Like,
I'm just jealous of his peck. At 12 years old, he's...
But yeah, Chance is only 15, so he's not going to break in yet. So, I mean, there's a lot that we can do. Oh, no, Ceres is right... It's outside San Francisco. Okay. It's a suburb of Modesto. Ugh. They grew up in the middle of, that's like the armpit of America. Jesus. I used to have to go to Modesto for Thanksgiving. Say
that's the armpit, but.
This is a put up or shut up game for the Sounders for a couple of reasons. Mm-hmm. One, we've been in this hole. Two, and more importantly, this is the first match of the return of the Heritage Cup. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The Heritage Cup is back. If you don't remember, the Heritage Cup is a cup that honors the history of the NASL and teams who have links back to the NASL. But Portland and Vancouver decided never to join it. So it just ended up being Seattle and San Jose. Well, the cup went missing for like 6 years. And before this season, they approached me and said, hey, was Grill FC, would you want to be involved in this in some way and bringing it back? And we said, yeah. And then when the Sounders moved offices, they found the cup. We thought it had been left on somewhere in the middle of like the airport or something. And they found it when they moved to the new offices and we got it back. And Sounders, you know, I think our 50 year anniversary is kind of smaller. Like it's not as big, it's bigger than this, but this can be a step in it. And they're doing a huge ceremony for it. They're bringing out NASL Earthquakes to be with it, and I get to bring it out on the field and hand it to them because technically they're the holders because we lost it last year.
Cool. Yeah. I'm all for winning trophies.
Yeah, we've won it 8 times.
I don't care if there's only one other opponent.
We've won it 8 times. They've won it 7 times. So we have this match and the match in September, I think, will decide it. And so whoever wins it, there'll be a post-game ceremony where they get handed it. You know, if it's Seattle that wins it, I'm sure we'll have a big thing on the field where we award it to our players. If San Jose wins it, I'm sure I'll be handing it to them in the locker room or something. And then...
How do you travel with it?
Dude, the thing is big. I'm going to have to pay...
I mean, you're not part of the team, so you're literally...
Checking it. Yeah, exactly. I have to check it and pay the $50 for oversized heavy luggage.
Oh, you're not even getting reimbursed?
I will by someone.
Oh, okay. But it's like, it's not your choice that it's back.
No, but you know, in the holders, if we win it, if Seattle wins it, Grill FC will be the holder, just like the shield. If we win the supporter shield, then I'll bring it to whatever parties need to be had by the supporter groups and the Sounders and everyone else. So kind of excited for it. Remember, there's more to play for. And I think in the future, starting next season, we're going to start expanding it beyond our two teams to other cities who once had a team in the NASL, even if they aren't the NSLs, if they're like the successor franchise. Like we go back to then, but
namesake.
Yeah, we don't need to be the namesake. Let's get this going and honor the NASL because these guys are starting to die, right? These guys are starting to not be a part of it. Well, they are. Yeah, Adrian Webster died recently. You know, like we've had other guys die, and it's a short.
Pele's dead. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. I mean, the yeah, owner of the Caribou of Colorado died. Of course, that was future Washington State Governor Booth Gardner, who's been dead for 20 years. But he owned the Caribou of Colorado, the team that had the most amazing jerseys in the history, where it had like the cowboy fringe on it. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh my God, really?
Oh, if you haven't seen it,
I don't know what you're talking about, but that's hilarious.
It's the best jersey ever. It's so awful.
I like the name, though. We are the Caribou of Colorado. Yeah,
we're going to hit you with our antlers.
Or run away as fast as we can. So here's my final thought. And it just struck me because when you were talking about the Heritage Cup, it's like, oh, yeah, I listened to the last episode with Dan. Dan Bonavis, we love when he's on, very insightful, especially when, because he's from Seattle, he's covered the Sounders, and then obviously the Rapids, and he's obviously involved with them, with his son, and just living there. So what a great person to have on. When he gives the prediction that he gave for this Colorado match, and we don't even score a run of play goal. What did he say? Like,
he said 2-0, yeah.
Okay, that concerns me, because that is a human being that follows both clubs, and he has an eye for, he's a journalist, right? He's not covering the Rapids anymore, but he used to cover both, so he's got an eye. He's and that didn't happen. So that's what concerns me, and I kind of mentioned that. It's like this run of play stuff. We need to unlock some stuff. We need to start.
I think once we do, though,
and San Jose provides that opportunity. Yeah. That's put up or shut up. Like
I think once we do, that it's gonna. It's going to be a huge rash of goals. So
it better be. It better. I mean, that I think is if it's a 1-0 like ugly match, I'm still not going to come away confident. I'll take the 3 points, but we need 3 points from this. That is what I really think we need that buoy, because we're probably going to lose a match in the next couple if this is the same kind of lineup shit we got to deal with, because it's not sustainable for a winning season. It's not.
No.
We know that. We just want to live these 4 to 8 weeks out, 6 to 8 weeks that De La Vega's out. We would need to kind of keep treading water before we start, you know, flying. And I really think we have a lineup when we're mostly available. Allow an injury here or there, but when we're mostly available, this is a sexy lineup. We were chosen to win the West. We predicted second because we always finish second unless we don't make the playoffs. So I still have a lot of confidence. It's way too early to freak out. But these performances that we've been seeing do not instill a lot of confidence in the overall foundation of this team and the identity that we're trying to have, because we should see some of them. And the run of play, no goals, midfield being absent. I mean, we got young players there. There's something to be said about talent and experience. Usually the best players have a high quality of both, a lot of years. Really great players have a lot of talent and not a lot of experience, but that kind of overshadows their experience. These guys are talented, but they don't have a lot of experience, and it's showing. They're giving us draws.
Yeah, I mean,
so hopefully you're right. Hopefully it's a barnstormer and three goals.
Here's the thing: is I feel like we have time to get this right. If we're not perfect, still moving forward in these next few games. Yeah, the Galaxy have 1 win and 3 draws, but they've been struggling. Besides that first win where they look so good. You know, then we come home against Montreal, who do have 2 wins, but have looked kind of bad at times. And then we go to Dallas, who have 3 losses, and then we host Vancouver. And so I think that Vancouver game, we have until April 20th to get our shit together.
That Vancouver,
That's the big one.
Which, that falls in line with probably a De La Vega.
Yep, I think so. Before we go, though, I want you to look at the Caribou of Colorado jerseys that I just sent you on your telephone so that you can at least get your impression live on the podcast.
Oh my God. Put these on the Discord. Oh my God. I was expecting on the shoulders,
no.
Not across the nipples.
These are my favorite.
I actually
want to do a short documentary about these and go. We'll see if I can figure it out. Problem is the Weezer show is the night before, so I don't know. I'd have to do it the week after, but I want to go out there when we're playing and because they wore them as an April Fool's joke in a press release, the Colorado Rapids a few years ago, So it'd be super fun to have conversations about it.
Yeah, put that on the Discord. Link in the show description. That's hilarious. It reminds me a little bit of something that like a Dumb and Dumber outfit. Right?
Yeah, I could see that.
When they open the briefcase.
I can see that for sure.
All right. Let's pull this into port. Yeah. Where can they find you on social
media? You can get me on all the social medias at Legal Minded Punk. And where can they find you?
On X at Aaron Lingley, AaronLingley. And we do have a Instagram. And if we get more followers, we're going to be more active.
Yeah, come follow us on there.
And I think I'm just going to start switching to Instagram anyway, just as a human being. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of bots on X right now that make it really difficult to use.
Yeah, and I don't need like dildo ads, honestly.
Yeah, I've been getting those too. What the heck?
It's going down the shitter on there. But most people are on Instagram, and we keep talking about it. So I'm actually going to put an effort there as my life gets back to a little bit of normal, and that is at @SSFC_Scuttlebutt. Frank will take us away with ours. What you said
before he does. James had a cold this week, and his voice was extra super deep, and he sounded like Barry White announcing the players. It was awesome.
Well, we don't have a recording of that. And I think, did I say Frank?
Yeah, I don't know why you said that. That's your new name for him. You're sleep deprived. That's okay.
Oh my God, Frank. Frank. Can't even think of another Frank.
Frank
in my
McDonald,
life.
Maybe. Soccer historian. You may have been thinking of him.
Actually, he'd be fun to have on since we've interviewed him about something. Okay. Yeah. James, please take us away.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.